I have to make a confession. The more and more I think about this, now coming up to 20 years as a priest, the more I realize that I want to get married. Living on your own in the rectory and being by yourself more often than not as priests, it can be lonely. All the work that I've done here at the parish in just 2.5 years alone doesn't satisfy. Then you have to deal with people complaining who at the same time will not lift a finger to help. You know what? I'd rather get married. In fact, if you look at Scripture, that's everything Scripture talks about is marriage. First, we hear in the first reading today, God says, as a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so your God shall rejoice in you. When God created the heavens and the earth, the culmination of his creation was man and woman. After he created Adam, what did he say? It's not good for man to be alone. And so he created Eve, his equal, taken from his rib. And Adam recognized, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She is my equal. And the very first thing God commanded them to do, the moment he created Eve, was, quote, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. If you open your Bible to the literal middle page, if it's 2,000 pages, open to page 1,000, you'll find yourself in the Song of Songs in the Old Testament, a beautiful, romantic, and quite explicit expression of love for a man toward his bride and vice versa. And then if you go to the very back of your Bible in the book of Revelations, how Scripture describes Christ's return in glory and power to earth is as a wedding banquet. Christ is described as the bridegroom who descends down from heaven to earth, and the two are wedded. Heaven is characterized as this wedding banquet. Everything in Scripture is about marriage. I want to get married. But then 20 years as a priest, I've sat with over 1,000 couples preparing to get married, having gotten married, in the process of thinking about divorce, having got divorced, or married for 50, 60, 70 years. And I know from their experience, countless experiences, that a wife will not fulfill me. A wife or husband is not fulfilling you. I know that even your children do not fulfill you. They may bring you moments of happiness and joy, beautiful memories, but they will never satisfy you. I know this because I've heard from thousands of people who have been married sometimes more than once. They're not quitters. They keep trying. And they don't realize that the spouse they aspire to marry or to be with as if they were married will never fulfill you. And yet, Scripture is all about marriage, and I want to marry. So what do we do? If you've been blessed enough to realize that your spouse will never fulfill you in the way that you are meant to be fulfilled, in the way that you desire to be fulfilled, and there's never enough drink or pleasure or food or money or power or physical appearance, then how will we ever be satisfied? What are you looking for? I know, based on Scripture, that I want to marry. The difference here and the clincher is that the marriage we were made for, because God made us for love. God made us to be loved. God made us to love. And when we don't receive and we don't give, we are a shell of ourselves, empty, miserable, looking for a pill to solve our problems, or a distraction to ignore the inner ache and turmoil that haunts us as we try to fall asleep at night in our loneliness with our spouse next to us and our kids in their bedrooms. The desire for love and to be loved was placed by God in the very DNA of the human person. We are meant for love, and without that, we are an empty shell and miserable in ourselves. The good news is that God has made us to be wed with him. God desires to marry us. Now you think, well, how am I going to marry God the Father? I'm a man. God the Father is not a man. God the Holy Spirit is not a man. We call him Father because that's what Christ has revealed, rightfully so. But God is pure spirit. He doesn't have a body. He's neither male nor female, as is the Holy Spirit, neither male nor female. The only person of the Trinity that is true God and true man is Jesus Christ. I want to marry God. God made me for that. And anything less will not satisfy. Whether I'm a priest, a deacon, single, a child, elderly, married, divorced, widowed, you name it, you will not find fulfillment in anyone else but him alone. We are meant to marry. Whether you're 4 years old or 100, you're meant to marry now. But the only marriage that will fulfill is that union with God. God wants to marry you. As a builder shall marry you, as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so your God shall rejoice in you. Notice how in the gospel today, the very first miracle that Jesus does is during a wedding. It's not a coincidence. It's not just circumstantial happenstance. It is extremely significant, purposeful, intentional, and God-designed. Of all the things Jesus could have done as his first miracle, it's through the intercession of Mary, and it's at a wedding. And what does he do? He makes 100-something gallons of wine, not for people to get drunk, because it's more than they could ever drink, but because it symbolizes something. The early church fathers tell us that when the wine ran short, it's because we rely on our own ability to love, and we do not use God's love in how we love each other. When I love you for your sake with all of my being, it will never satisfy, and I will run dry. And then I'm angry, and I'm bitter, and I'm rude, and I'm uncharitable, and eventually I leave you for another. Their wine ran out when they relied on their own love. But when Jesus steps into the picture, through the intercession of Mary, there is so much wine they cannot finish it. It would be impossible. The wine symbolizes the love of God. And the love of God is no one else or less than God himself, the Holy Spirit. Remember when Peter and the apostles went 3 years with Jesus? They witnessed him raise the dead, cure the leper, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the mute, the possessed. They saw him walk on water, multiply the loaves and fishes, calm the storms, transfigured in glory with Moses and Elijah on Mount Tabor. And they saw him risen from the dead. What did they do as a result? They went back to fishing. The same thing they did before they even ever met him. Nothing changed. Even after all of those experiences, we're baptized, First Communion, confirmation, married in the church, go to Mass, and what are we doing? The same thing we did before we knew Jesus, or as if we had never known him. What changed everything? Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, everything changed. Jesus knew this. He said, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. I am going to my Father and your Father. But wait for the Holy Spirit to come. He will guide you in all things now that my mission is complete. Once I return to the right hand of the Father, now as man as well as God. And so they did. But out of fear for the Jews, they hid, afraid that the Jews would do to them through the Roman Empire what they did to Jesus. These apostles that witnessed so many miracles hid and did nothing. At least they prayed. And finally, the Holy Spirit descends upon them, and everything changed. The scriptures tell us that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, kicks open the doors of the room and begins proclaiming Christ dead and risen to thousands of people that had gathered in Jerusalem during that time. He spoke once, and people of every nation and all the nations known and languages understood him. They said, "You're drunk." They accused Peter at 9 a.m, the way he preached and prayed in tongues, that he was drunk, and he was, but not on alcohol. He was inebriated with the Holy Spirit. He was drunk on the love of God, and he could care less if they killed him. Nothing would hold him back anymore. He would proclaim the gospel unto his own crucifixion, deciding that he was unworthy to die like Jesus, though as a non-Roman citizen, punishment would be crucifixion, and so he was crucified upside down. He was inebriated with the love of God, that is the Holy Spirit. We are all called to marriage. Whether you're a priest, bishop, nun, single, celibate, consecrated virgin, married, child, elderly, we are all called to marriage. And any other marriage in this life that is not with God himself will ultimately, I promise, I guarantee you, we believe it as a matter of faith, will leave you unfulfilled. Because your spouse cannot fulfill you. Your children will not fulfill you. Your parents will not fulfill you. You are not created for them. You are created for him. And in him alone do we find actual rest. In him alone, then, marriage becomes that helper in this life, only for this life, because in heaven there is no marriage, who will help me and her and him get to heaven. You are my equal, who together we will inspire and push each other forward in holiness to get ourselves and our children to our ultimate home, that is heaven, where Christ is the bridegroom. And after death, you will no longer be my spouse. The vows of marriage say as much. Until death do you part. Why? Because after death, they're not your spouse anymore. That's why you can marry after death when your spouse widows. Because marriage is only for this life when it comes to another human being that is not God. We are meant for him. And when we fall in love, when we become inebriated with the love of God, that is the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son, then these gifts manifest that we hear about Paul speaking in his letter to the Corinthians chapter 12. Gifts for the glory of God and the building up of the church. When we are drunk on the Holy Spirit, we have gifts of healing and prophecy and discernment of spirits and the praying and interpretation of tongues. All of these different gifts accorded to each person differently for the building up the body of Christ, for the glory of God and the salvation of the world. The antiphon today told us God has called us through the gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his glory is nothing less than God the Holy Spirit. So for love of God, leave behind what you think will fulfill you and recognize that only one thing will. Let's all get drunk on the Holy Spirit and acknowledge the fact that until we are wedded to God, mind, body, and soul, nothing will satisfy. But when we are, everything fulfills, is fulfilling. Everything leads us back to him.